This week on the Red Sneaker Writers Podcast.
Just do it. Sometimes, Bill, we contemplate and study and all that wonderful kind of stuff, and it slows down progress. Even if you fall, even if you fail, you can always get back up.
Welcome to the Red Sneaker Writers Podcast. News, interviews, and writing tips for people who are serious about having a writing career and want some practical knowledge to help them achieve it. Your host is the nationally best-selling author of more than 50 books, William Bernhardt.
Hello, sneakers. I hope your writing is going well. Okay, confession. I have an apology to make. Last time, I was supposed to mention WriterCon, the annual writers conference I co-host every Labor Day weekend. You've heard me talk about it before, probably. And I was going to mention it for a reason. So you could register early and get the early bird prize, which expired yesterday. I had it in my notes, but completely forgot. But never fear. I always take care of my sneakers. So today, I'm offering a promo code that will knock $50 off the price just for the people listening to this podcast. But it's only good till June 20, so register now and enter promo code RSW, Red Sneaker Writers, RSW, and you'll get the early bird price. In other words, it'll be just like you registered before the end of May because it's on me. I forgot to tell you. We're going to have a terrific conference this year, and you can learn more about it at writercon.org. That's WRITERCON.ORG. We have over 50 top flight presenters, successful writers, agents, editors, plus contests and masterclasses, exclusive lunches, and much, much more. Best of all, at one of the exhibitor tables, you will find my favorite sound engineer, Jesse Ulrich. Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a week here in Tulsa, but I am ready to continue the work from this past week, but more spread out and not every single day, hour on the hour.
Well, when we were together last, you were having a birthday. Did you get that giant television hooked up?
It's arriving tomorrow. So so I get to play a fun day of when is the UPS guy going to show up?
Excellent. Well, I know you've been involved with the memorials for the Tulsa Race Massacre, right?
I have been.
Helping commemorate that important event. And so thanks for being with us today. Hey, guess what? My new novel, Splitsville, is on sale and seems to be doing well. You want me to send you a copy, Jesse?
Yes, I would, because we're not doing an audiobook for it yet, so I don't get a chance to read it.
That's a good answer. If you'd said no, I would have really had my ego bruised. Splitsville has a number one bestseller flag on Amazon. I'm not really sure what that means, but I think it is definitely preferable to not having the flag, so you're not going to hear me complaining. My interview guest this time is Sharon Jenkins. Sharon is the inspirational principal for the Master Communicators Writing Services. Her business provides writing and coaching services to small businesses, nonprofits, and especially authors. She's known as the Master Communicator. She's mastered multiple forms of media communications in both writing and speaking. She'll be talking to us today about how you Red Sneaker writers can most effectively market your books. But first, the news. Three stories for you this time. Number one. You will be shocked to hear me mentioning Amazon, on this show, because of course that almost never happens, right? This week, Amazon was at the forefront of the news from the publishing world, which is the usual state of affairs. You probably already heard that Amazon acquired MGM, apparently to improve the offerings available to Amazon Prime members. The announcement that you may have missed this week is that for the first time, Amazon Publishing is making its books and audiobooks available to libraries. Just to be clear, I'm not talking about Kindle KDP, not talking about Kindle Direct Publishing, what people use to self-publish their books. We're talking about Amazon Publishing, which is a complete bona fide, legit, traditional publisher, which just happens to be owned by the retail outfit that sells more than 50% of books sold in the United States, which gives them some leverage, obviously, which is why they've been able to attract people like Dean Koontz and Patricia Cornwell and many others. So Amazon Publishing now has a catalog of about 10,000 titles, and for the first time, they've made it possible for U.S. public libraries to purchase ebook and audiobook licenses. Distribution will be through the not-for-profit Digital Public Library of America, which surprised some people. DPLA is not the top ebook distributors for libraries. That, of course, would be Overdrive. But I noticed it's not an exclusive deal, so maybe at some point in the future, Amazon will expand and start distributing through people like Overdrive and others. Okay, story number two. A Big Five publisher is launching a first novel contest. And, you know, there are a lot of writing contests out there, but most of them aren't sponsored by the Big Five. Most aren't offering publication contracts. And since I suspect many of you are working on your first novels, I wanted to mention this. Gallery Books, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster, has launched the Books Like Us First Novel Contest to facilitate accessibility, here I'm quoting, to underrepresented writers and celebrate the diversity of readers across the United States. A two-week entry period will begin June 1st, today, as we record this, and writers can submit 25 pages of an original adult novel. Get this, the winner will be offered a $50,000 book deal with Gallery Books. That's what you want, right? Red Sneaker writers, money, and publication. That's why at WriterCon in the past, we've offered winners publication in a literary journal. So in a way, I suppose Simon & Schuster is really just copying us, but what else is new? Okay, third story. You've heard me in the past talk about Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, a site that allows people to support artists, including writers, directly, to be patrons. You've heard me mention it because I have a Patreon page that I use to support this podcast. And we always urge people who enjoy the podcast to consider joining, supporting at patreon.com/Wilburn, patreon.com/WILLBERN. But there's another site like Patreon that specializes in supporting authors, and it may be of keen interest to Red Sneaker writers. It's called Curious Fictions. It's not new. It started a little while ago emphasizing science fiction and fantasy, but now they're taking a giant leap forward and expanding in a big way. It made sense that they started with science fiction because short fiction has always been so important in that realm. Unlike in some other genres, in SF and F, short fiction is still a good way for early writers to build their reputation. So they began by inviting established authors to post short stories, some of which had been published elsewhere, reprints. But now they've expanded the scope to include original work, ongoing serials, and even audio. And it's now welcoming authors from all genres. Science fiction still makes up the majority of what is on their site, but it's open to everyone. The business model is simple. They take a small cut of your payments, just like Patreon does. Only certain authors are eligible to join Curious Fictions, though. They do have membership requirements, a lot like what you see in some of the professional writing organizations, like Novelists Inc., meaning you must have earned some money from your work. It's also open to authors in many different countries, so this may be yet another way of promoting your work that you want to check out. And speaking of ways for authors to support their work, I know someone who is brimming with wonderful ideas on that subject, and that, of course, would be Sharon Jenkins. Sharon, are you with us?
I am here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I sure can. I can see and hear you coming through loud and clear. Thanks for being on the podcast.
It is my honor and privilege.
All right. Traditional first question. If you could give a writer one piece of advice, and of course, I'm going to be pumping you for like 20 pieces of advice, but first and right up front, if you're going to single out one piece of advice to give a writer, what would it be?
Just do it.
And
just do it. Sometimes, Bill, we contemplate and study and all that wonderful kind of stuff, and it slows down progress. Even if you fall, even if you fail, you can always get back up.
Good advice. I mean, you can't really promote the book unless you got the book, right? At some point, you got to sit down and write. I introduced you earlier in the show and talked about all you're doing with the speaking and the teaching and the representing authors and whatnot. The master communicator, you're called in the biz. How did you get started at this?
Well, when I was a little girl, right around 8 years old, authors and librarians were my superheroes. I was kind of shy, kind of introverted, and believe it or not, I was skinny.
I have a harder time believing you were shy, but go ahead.
But I was shy, and so my friends were the books that I read. And as I would go into the library, I mean, it was the place that I ran to during recess, after school, you name it, I was in the library. And the librarians were my friends. So I've always had a keen appreciation for authors. They are my superheroes because they're able to take you to a place that you've never been before.
That's right. That's the sit down, relax, and have a movie played in your mind, right? I don't think there is any other medium that does that.
No.
So let's talk about this master communicator business. Where did that come from?
Well, actually, my goal was to be a speaker. Mm-hmm. And during the course of my studies, I went to a couple of classes with Florence Littauer, and she had a business called CLASS, Christian Leaders and Speakers Association, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I heard it there in the class. You needed to not just be able to speak, but you need to write a book. And I was like, okay, well, let's do this. You know, and I had put authors on pedestals. So I didn't know if I had the right stuff to write a book, but I was going to try.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. So you sat down and wrote. What happened?
Oh, one of the beautiful things that happened is, when I sat down to write, people felt what I wrote. And for example, let me tell you where I started. And believe it or not, Bill, it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Can you believe this? I joined a writer's guild and we started performing spoken word. And so I got to see how people would react to the words that I wrote. And I was hooked. I was like, well, they seem to like it. And I just started writing and writing and writing and writing and fine-tuning the process. So that's how I got started in writing. I actually was chicken. I didn't want to just jump right in there. So I did a compilation first. members participated in that. And then I did a book with some co-authors who were mm-hmm. into poetry. So that's how I started.
Mm. And now you've written several books, right? How many?
Oh, God. 18, I believe.
That's, yeah, you shouldn't be able to. I mean, for me, it's 55, but I still don't hesitate. I know how many books I've written. 18, right?
Books, 18 books, yes. And we're currently working on another one. So
good. Well, that's what writers do. Go ahead.
And, you know, Bill, the reason why I decided that that was important is if I was going to help authors, I needed right. to know what they go through.
Mm-hmm.
True. And so all of my experiences in regards to writing books are because I wanted to become a better resource for authors, especially when it comes to marketing.
Well, I just have to point out that one of those books, I believe, is called Are You a Super Author? What's that one about?
Well, what I did, because I also love research, what I did is I interviewed 14 authors who had mastered authorpreneurship. Okay. And that's mm-hmm. author, being an author and being an entrepreneur at the same time and handling your writing business. And so I not only interviewed them, but I had them tell their story also in the book. And it is chock full of their adventures, their writing adventures, their business adventures. And they are a prime example of how you can mesh the two and be successful.
But tell us, how do you, you know, we all want to be successful. What do we need to do?
Okay, I brought this little t-shirt so I could show you all what my motto is. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
It says, get it right the first time.
Get it right, W-R-I-T-E, the yes, first time.
The first time. And the reason why I pulled that shirt out is because you know you have a passion to write, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have a passion to write, but somewhere picked up a little bit of courage and you're going to put a pen on a piece of paper or you're going to sit right. in front of your iPad or your laptop and get it done. So where do you want to go? See, that's the thing. We get sometimes we get caught up in the romanticism of being a writer, what we see in the rom-coms or what we see in the mysteries and all that wonderful kind of stuff on television and in the movies. And we, you know, that's what we want. We want that glamour. We want that romanticism. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like any other relationship. Pretty soon you got to get down to the real business of being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Is the honeymoon only last, but maybe a year? You're lucky if the honeymoon lasts a year. Mm-hmm. So I always advise authors to, you know, figure out where you want to end up at. What is it that you want to accomplish as a writer? And if you don't know, the wonderful thing to do is to go and study people like yourself, Bill,
mm-hmm.
and see where you started and find out where you ended up and see if that's the route that you want to go on. Because I advise authors to do a vision board, Bill. And let me tell you why. Because you're gonna fall in those pit holes occasionally. You're going to get writer's block and you're going to wonder, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I staying up to 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning writing this book? What, you know? Or you're going to look at your book sales and you're going to say, wow, man, my goal was to sell 100 books and I've only sold 2. You're going to need something that's going to inspire you continuously to continue on your journey. So that's why I advise authors to do a vision board. What do you want to do? Do you want to be a New York Times bestselling author? Do you want, are you a missionary, a writer who is a missionary and you have a message that you want to share with the nations? So, you know, how many people do you want to reach out to? All that wonderful kind of stuff. So you need to know where you're going so that you can make a plan to get there.
Well, let's talk about some specifics. I know this isn't the whole all of what you do, but a lot of what you do is social media management. So here yeah. we're talking social media, so important to book promotion today. And yet I suspect that most authors would rather be writing than fiddling around on Facebook or what. And I'm just guessing. I could be wrong. Although so how do you help people? How do you help authors deal with social media?
Well, first and foremost, you have to decide, the author has to decide that they want help or that they want to be empowered to do social media themselves. If they want to be empowered to do social media themselves, then there's a coaching process that they can go through that will bring them up to speed.
But you mean with you, coaching with you?
With me, okay. But there are coaches all over the place that reach inside and help people, you know, become what they need to become in regards to social media masters. But if you're looking for someone to come alongside you and to help you realize that dream that you placed on the vision board, then there are author assistants, people who are trained specifically to help authors achieve their goals. Mm-hmm. I actually went through a certification process where I studied, well, what is it? What is an author's assistant and how can I help others? Because for me, Bill, it's all about helping people achieve their goals.
See, I must be right because almost the instant that I asked that last question, something popped up in the chat box from Karen saying, the thought of blogging, Instagramming, et cetera, makes me feel nauseated. What advice do you give a person who hates the idea of marketing?
Get an assistant.
hire someone. Yes, that's about it, right? I mean, they're going to help a little bit, but it can make a big difference when you've got somebody strategizing and devising and maybe even posting here and there. Okay, a couple of times you mentioned a vision board. Help me out. What's a vision board?
A vision board is a pictorial example of or a pictorial journey where you take pictures and words. I like to use words with mine. A lot of times people just use pictures, but pictures and words that depict where you want to go in your writing career. So if you're a fiction, if you write fiction, and I love fiction writers, they provide the brain candy that I need in order to escape from the real world. And kudos to you, Bill, for doing that. But the moral of the story is simply this. If you are looking at your vision board, it's a constant reminder of where you're headed. And it's a constant encouragement. For example, in my case, I've gotten a whole, actually, I don't know if you all will be able to see my vision board. Bill, you're making me pull out the vision board.
Well, when you talk about it, you know, on crime shows, you always see where the cops have posted pictures and evidence up on the wall and connected them with yarn, like a murder board. But yours sounds better.
Yes. So here's an actual example of a vision board, and it's personalized based on what your desire is. Mm-hmm. So you see, I've got pictures on here. I've got words on here, and I'm loving it. And it's a constant reminder to me what it is that I want to do and accomplish.
All right. So now that we've covered vision board and the secret to marketing, even though you hate social media, is hire someone like you. Then I'm willing to bet that the next question on some people's mind is going to be, oh, but can I afford that? So I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is this affordable to the average author?
It just depends. Let's talk. Okay. If I'm going to start a business, I've got to count the cost to start the business. Well, if I'm going to write a book, I have to count the cost to write the book. So yes, I can write a book in 3 days on a long weekend, and I can upload the book myself to KDP. I'm talking nonfiction, Bill.
Oh, okay.
I can upload the book to KDP myself, but then, okay, who's going to know it's there? Okay. Right. They don't sell themselves. All right, Bill. You know that. They don't sell themselves.
I know that for sure.
Yes. So you've got to think before you even, I always advise authors, before you even start writing your book, you got to figure out who's going to buy that book. Okay. Where can you sell that book? Because if you're in it for the money, and there's nothing wrong with that, because people become billionaires writing books. Okay. Mm-hmm. We know a few. But you have to count the cost. So if your budget says that you can spend $100 a year on marketing, then look for DIY resources, because they're out there, and everybody and their mama, they're offered free courses. Kim Garst, for one. I love Kim Garst because she will offer a free course in a heartbeat. And then, of course, they try to upgrade you. But the quality and the content of her courses on social media, they are like none other. You will walk away enabled to do what it is that she promoted that you would be able to do. I just recently took a course on Instagram Reels, and I was able to create my reel, and I didn't spend a dime. So you have to look for the free resources. And I will provide your audience with a list of free resources that Fantastic. Will help them get started.
Email that to me and I'll put it in the show notes when this goes out as an audio podcast. So we got another really smart follow-up question here. Somebody asking, is there an association of authors assistants so you can get one who is credible? I mean, I'm sure it's like author agents. Some are clearly more professional and more desirable than others, or editors. There are a lot of people going around calling themselves, you know, doctors, book doctors or editors who really don't have any experience. How do you find a good author assistant?
Absolutely. There is an organization, the organization that I came from, and I will send that information to you too, Bill. But there are, you know, you do your Google and then you do your vetting, and you'll be able to find one. But I'll send you some links to some author assistance resources. I do know the Nonfiction Association. They have a list of credible resources, and if you use the Writer's Market, there are resources in the Writer's Market. If you write Christian books, there's a Christian Writer's Market, and they have tons of resources that they support. If they don't support you, if you're a fly-by-night kind of person, you're not going to be able to be in that book.
Good. Now, I noticed a couple times now you've mentioned nonfiction. I suspect, though I have no evidence, but I suspect most of the people listening are working on a novel. Do you think nonfiction is easier to promote?
No.
Why?
And I'm going to tell you why.
Good. You read my mind.
the wonderful people who write novels are super creative. When it comes to marketing your characters in the book, marketing their hobbies, their interests, all that wonderful kind of stuff, the sky's the limit. A nonfiction author has to stick to one subject, but a novelist has the sky. I mean, there's so much you can do. You can dress up like your character. You can do little comic books about your character. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sky, you could do TikToks, Bill.
Well, TikToks, I probably couldn't.
About your character. I've got a red wig and some weird sunglasses that I'm going to use. I'm reaching for them. It's funny. All this stuff is right here. And I bought these from Amazon, and I'm going to put it on to promote something I'm doing. And you just got to be willing to be crazy. To let your crazy side come out, you know? And that's really important. But I've got glasses, I've got wigs, I've got all that other kind of stuff. You know what I've done, Bill, is kind of funny. When I did my play about Tulsa, I actually hired actors. I found some that were real cheap, hired actors to put together a video about one of the scenes in my plays. Okay, so see these glasses, Bill?
Yes, big square blue tinted glasses.
Yes. So you think nobody's going to recognize me, stop to find out what I'm doing with these big blue glasses on? You have to step outside of who you are, mm-hmm. or stay in who you are, but get in touch with the crazy person in you.
Yeah.
And when I was shy and introverted, Bill, let me tell you what I used to do. It was easier for me to be somebody else than myself. So, you know, I advise you practice that. Have fun with who you are and have fun with your characters, because the sky's the limit. That's what when I say, Bill, that novelists have a greater, I would say, cachet of resources to promote their books. They do not just their characters, but the themes. Let's say, like my friend Kenneth Andres, his things are based in the military and all that wonderful kind of stuff. That theme is the thing that draws people to his books.
Writes military thrillers.
Yes.
Flashpoint and Amber Dawn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you promote those? Sounds like you work with him.
Military thrillers. Military organizations, military people are going to want to read his book. And I happen to be a veteran. And that is why I've got the little DIY into that particular field, because I have those veteran resources, VFWs, different veteran organizations. Those are the guys, the fellows that would like to do that, would like to read his books.
I'm sure someone out there is thinking, wait, I'm a serious, sophisticated literary author. I'm not going to wear a red wig and big blue glasses. What's your response?
Find somebody who will.
Hire an actor, apparently, is what you said before.
Find somebody who will.
Yeah, that makes it. Well, you know. You talk about being shy. Most authors are. I mean, why are you going to become an author? It's because you'd rather sit at home and read than go to a cocktail party or whatever. You are not outgoing by nature. You might be able to turn it on, but it doesn't come easily. So how do you help people like that?
So in Hollywood, when an actor or an actress doesn't fit a particular role, I'm talking about a public persona, they hire somebody to help them do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, for example, a spokesperson for a major company, because maybe the CEO has a stuttering problem. Mm-hmm. So, you find the person. And one thing, Bill, that I know you're going to laugh at this, but I got to say it. One thing we discredit is our kids. Our kids can show up and show out, but children like drama. They like performing. Mm-hmm. Children like doing TikToks. I mean, use your teens, use your little ones, use your grandchildren. You know, everybody wants to be a star nowadays. So if it's not you, find somebody in your family. Everybody has one who likes to cut up and act a fool and will do crazy things.
That's good advice. So I read through a lot of your materials, and you use the word authorpreneur, which is sort of a portmanteau, author and entrepreneur. What do you mean? What's an authorpreneur?
Okay. Author, obviously, is someone who writes books, and an entrepreneur is someone who runs a business. Well, if you're serious about the business of writing, then you will have to become an entrepreneur. And the reason why you have to become one is because you need to know what your sales are doing. You need to know who needs to be on your team, the accountant, you know, all those wonderful people, the lawyers, all those wonderful people that need to be the editors, that need to be on your team to help you become successful. So if you're serious about this, then you're going to want to surround yourself with the people who can help you reach and accomplish your goals. Now, you can be a serious writer and not have a team. Just contract those resources out to people who do them and do them well. But an authorpreneur is somebody who is serious about the business of writing.
And is basically, it sounds like, running their own business, head of a small business, which means you're going to have a team, right? You can't do everything yourself.
No,
or don't want to.
Yeah. You're going to have somebody who does your marketing. You're going to have somebody who is, how can I say it, social media savvy.
Right.
You're going to have all of those people around you to help you have a successful book project. And that's wonderful. Because, how can I say it? If you do it on your own, it may take you a little longer, but with a team, the team really does make the dream work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you both on your points about employing children and building a team. As I think you know, I've got my boy Ralph making videos for books now and doing a great job. Alice is editing the manuscripts we publish, and Harry's doing all the math stuff, which just makes my head hurt. Whether you have a fleet of children or not, that's the kind of team you need to assemble, because you can't do everything and you probably don't want to, right?
And then what we don't think about is the resources that the colleges and the community colleges and even the high schoolers, there are children or there are young adults who are interested in the publishing industry, and they want the experience. I don't want to leave this discussion without making sure you understand that a well-written book is the key to success.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could write junk and sell it, and you'll sell it for a little bit, but it won't continue to sell, and people won't come back.
Right, you won't build a career.
Right. You can't do it. You just can't do it. But at the center of this is a well-written book. And when you get that well-written book done, then you have something, a product that you can market. And when you have that product that you can market, it's just like somebody selling pet rocks. I mean, people made millions of dollars off of selling pet rocks. So what makes you think that you can't sell a well-written book? You can. You just have to change your mindset a little bit and focus on the entrepreneurial aspects of writing and selling books.
Sharon, are there problems that you encounter frequently? I know you've worked with a lot of writers. Are there stumbling blocks that seem to come up more frequently than others?
I think, a friend of mine and I, we were talking and we were sharing this situation. I think that Hollywood needs to change the way that they sell viewers on the concept of what a writer really is, because it has metamorphosed from what it was 20 years ago. But even now, when you go and you look at a movie, matter of fact, I just have this magnet. I'm always looking at movies about writers, and I don't try to do it. It just happens. But, you know, you know, somebody sells a book to a publishing company, get this huge advance, and they send them all over the world marketing the book. And that doesn't happen too much anymore.
Like just about never. Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. New writers have that expectancy that they're going to write a book and they're going to, you know, okay, you know, some people try to write a book on their own, they're going to write a book, and then overnight, they're going to become an overnight success. But there are so many pieces to this writing puzzle that need to be in place so that you can have the success you desired. The truth of the matter is you can have the success that you desire. But it's like anything else. Do your research. Posture yourself in the right position so that people can see you and know you. And if you're shy and introverted like Bill does, put your kids in the do cat videos, do something. And that's one of the main points I want to leave your viewers with, Bill. We all have other things that we like outside of writing. So our loves, the genuine love that we have for our animals or for our children or for cooking or for anything like that, people really want to know you so they can like and trust you. So when you open up that side of yourself to the world, that lets them know that you're a real person and that, you know, it's a bridge of sorts that makes the connection between you and your, you know, reading public. They want to know you. They love the fact that you write good books, but they really want to know you. That's just the way it is right now in what we call the literary industry.
You know, this reminds me a lot of when I first started writing poetry, and I tended to, you know, I was trying to be very sophisticated and whatnot, and tended not to write about, say, children or cats, or because that's too personal. And why would anybody care about me and this cat I loved? Well, as it turns out, that's all they care about. That's primarily, you know, those are the poems people love best. And I think it's just the same in social media. Posts about my wonderful kids or Bustifer, my cat. That's what catches people interest and gets them, you know, and then you hope that follows to books, of course. But what you're trying to do is build an audience, right?
Yes, yes. And that's the bridge, Bill, because when they see your cat, when they see you and your children sitting at a table playing a board game.
That's happened once or twice. Yeah.
They can relate. Yes, they can relate to you. Mm-hmm. They can relate. You're a real person just like them. But you've got this awesome gift and they get the privilege and they have the honor of partaking of that. And that's really what it's all about. Yes, you have a story inside of you. And kudos to you for having the courage to write that story. But marketing is more about attracting, becoming a magnet for your ideal reader. And they want to know you. I've been to writers' conferences all over the United States of America, Bill. And the truth of the matter is people want to know the writer. When I've been in a room with women and there were, four guys and they were all authors. And if you want to fill up a room in a hurry, get four guys who write novels and put them in a book, in a room, and the women will come. I mean, they will come and then let them start reading out of their books. Wow. So that people just want to know you and you're awesome. Why wouldn't they want to know you?
That's a great point. Okay, I just shared with you something I've learned along the way. Can you think of any things you've picked up along the way working, writing books or working with authors or doing all the marketing and whatnot? Maybe something you didn't see originally, but, you know, picked up along the way.
I picked up the fact that when you're an author, it's good to be a student. Because if you don't know, you don't know. And when you don't know, it's good to be transparent and say you don't know. Because then all the resources come to you versus you showing up and you've got this professional persona. And you're like, yeah, I'm this, I'm all this and a bag of chips and all that wonderful kind of stuff. And the people in the industry like yourself, Bill, you are a vast resource for new authors and even seasoned authors who cannot sell books. But you have to build those relationships. And with social media and all that wonderful kind of stuff, you don't have to sit down across the table from your favorite author. You can send them an email or you can or you can see them on TikTok or talk to them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Those walls where you couldn't reach out and touch people, are they've fallen down. And so if you really, and the Clubhouse, I really don't think people really understand how the walls have really come down in regards to mm-hmm. Clubhouse. No telling who you'll meet in a room. So if you need it, and that's the place where you get totally free advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're working on zero, there are enough resources out there to help you move forward in your writing career. And there are people who want to help you. Find them. They're there. Just be open to find them.
Hey, you mentioned that you go to writers conferences sometimes. I think you're going to one this Labor Day, aren't you, this year?
Yes, I'm going to write a con. I can't wait.
We can't wait to have you there. She'll be speaking and presenting, and she'll have a booth, and you'll have a chance to talk to her and pick her mind some more even then at WriterCon. Sharon, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
I love it. I love it. I love writers. You're my superheroes.
Thanks again, Sharon.
You're welcome, Bill.
All right. Just a few parting words before we sign off. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that my new book, Splitsville, is now on sale. And of course, I mentioned that you can register for WriterCon 2021 as well. Labor Day weekend. The website is writercon.org. And the promo code so that you can lower the price is RSW. That's good till June 20th. As soon as I get those materials Sharon promised, I'll put them in the show notes. That'll go out with the audio version of this podcast, and I'll post them on the Red Sneaker Writers Facebook page as well. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is imaginatively titled William Bernhardt, so you'll be alerted whenever we're about to live stream and you can find the ones you missed, or subscribe on Facebook, or subscribe to the audio podcast. Next time on the next episode of this podcast, we'll be interviewing Sarah Loudon Thomas, a wonderful author who's got a new book coming out that's getting a lot of buzz coming from Thomas and Mercer. That's a branch of Amazon Publishing. So we'll be picking her mind about that and many other things as well. Until next time, hey, keep writing, Red Sneaker Writers. And remember, you cannot fail if you refuse to quit. See you next time.